Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. Peace be unto you. You know, sometimes some people like to say, dear church, they forgot. Church is consisted of people, isn't it? Consisted of brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's why I prefer to say, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Would you like that? Or you prefer for me to say, dear church? This is more personal, isn't it? And it is also what the Bible taught us. We are actually a gathering of brothers and sisters in Christ to worship the true and living God our Father in the name of the Son of God Jesus Christ our Lord and by the Holy Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, I have been struggling preparing this sermon. I don't mind sharing with you. Preparing sermons sometimes is not easy. So I need very much your prayer. Could you please pray with me? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the Word. We also thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit that we may read, understand, and apply the Word to our hearts. I now pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable to you, the Lord, my Savior. Amen. When Yin asked me to speak on the subject, fake news about Jesus Christ, straight away I said yes, because there are so many news about when Jesus is coming back, isn't it? Oh, you know, sometimes you heard even the date, even the place when Jesus is going to appear. I said, Yin, how about that? He said, no. I'm going to preach about life and death. So they may also cover the Jesus' return. I said, okay, then I have to change my topic. Fake news about Jesus. What could I say about fake news about Jesus? Then I remember, I once spoke to a Muslim, and he was from Somalia. Somalia. I asked him, how many children you have? He said, 5. I said, wow. Trying to be fruitful and multiply, huh? He said, well, you know, we don't know out of 5 which one is going to turn out okay. But at least you have 5. Okay? If 4 is not okay, at least have 1. I say, you better pray hard. A Muslim. And he told me that actually we Muslims, Jews, and Christians all believe in the same God, just by different name. We Muslims call him Allah. And the Jews probably call him Jehovah. And we Christians call him God. Different names, but the same God. And we are the people of the book. You see, we Muslims have the Quran. And the Jews have the Torah. And you Christians have the Bible, the people of the book. I said, oh, yeah. Yes. And then I said, it seems that the Muslims don't quite like the Christians. He said, yes. Because you Christians keep saying that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you know there's only one true God? Allah? And by calling himself the Son of God, actually, Jesus is blaspheming against God. Actually, Jesus is human being, just like us. He drank, he ate, he slept, he even had to go to the toilet. I said, oh, okay. And then, in another occasion, I spoke to a Hindi from Nepal. And I say, oh, what do you believe? He said, I have a temple in the house. And my wife is a very devout Hindi. And she had being to the mosque. And when they found out that she is a Hindi, she was not welcome anymore. You know why? Because the Muslims believe in the one true God, Allah, and they don't believe in worshipping the idols. And my wife had also been to the church. And when the Christian found out that she is a Hindi, you know what? They welcome her. So Christians are better. And they believe that Jesus is just another God, like many gods that people worship. You may think, oh, these are the followers of different religions. But we also have, within so-called the Christian circle, people who believe Jesus as the Son of God, but meant otherwise. Probably you have come across Mormons. Sometimes they came knocking at your door. Yes, they call themselves Christians. Yes, they believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But when you ask them a bit more, what do you mean? They say Jesus is the firstborn Son of God the Father. The firstborn. To them, God the Father is the literal Father of Jesus Christ the Son. And both have perfected, glorified physical bodies, while the Holy Spirit is only a spirit without a physical body. And they don't believe in the Trinity. One God, three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But not three gods, but one God. They don't believe in that. So we're going to turn to the Bible and see what the Bible actually says about who Jesus is. When Jesus was on earth, he had performed many signs and wonders. We like to call them miracles, but in the Bible it says signs and wonders because they all point to something. They all point to who Jesus is and what he has come to do. Jesus calmed the storm, healed the leper, made a paralytic walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the dumb speak, and even raised the dead and cast out the demon. So when Jesus was with his disciples, he asked them, "Who am I? Who am I?" Well, people have been saying different things about Jesus, but one thing came out very clearly. Isn't Jesus the carpenter's son? Isn't the mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Many of us perhaps don't know that Jesus has other brothers. James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Yes, this is what people say. What about you? What do you say about me? Well, some people say you are actually John the Baptist because you preach like John the Baptist. Some say you are perhaps Elijah because Elijah, as you read in the Old Testament, was taken up into heaven. And Bible say he will return before the coming of Christ, before the coming of the end of the world. So Jesus perhaps is that Elijah returning to earth from heaven. But still others say that Jesus is Jeremiah or one of the prophets who had come to pronounce God's judgment. Jesus then asked them again, yes, this is what other people say. What about you? Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Most of the disciples kept quiet, and here we have Peter. Peter always liked to be the first to speak. He thought he knows a lot. He said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. The Son of the Living God. As a Jew, Jesus believed there is only one true and living God. And as a child, he had learned to recite from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And when Jesus heard what Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," you notice, Jesus did not rebuke Peter. Unlike the high priest, you remember when Jesus was betrayed by Judas and put on trial at the Sanhedrin by the high priest and the elders, and they even tried to find false witnesses to accuse Jesus, but they couldn't really make the allegations stuck. And finally, they say, "Jesus, are you truly the Christ, the Son of the living God? Now, tell us, under oath, are you the Christ, the Son of the living God?" And Jesus said, "Well, just as you said." And guess what? Guess what? The high priest tore his clothes. Why? Because he said, "What more do we need? He has blasphemed against God." Because there is only one Lord, and the God is one. How could you, son of a carpenter, born of Mary, have brothers and claim yourself to be the Son of God? And yet, when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God," Jesus did not rebuke Peter. He did not tore off his clothes and say, "You have blasphemed against God." In doing so, Jesus basically acknowledged what Peter said was true. He acknowledged that he himself is truly God the Son. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. You have often got yourself wrong, but this time you got it right. You got it right because it was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. It did not come from human beings, from anyone." Yes, especially when we say that Jesus is the Son of God. And we know that a lot of people have problems believing in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is already very difficult to accept that Jesus is the Son of God and at the same time man, let alone the Holy Spirit is also God. So no one in the right mind would say that Jesus is the Son of God, because it will create a lot of difficulties explaining to people. And definitely not the Jews to say Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Because as I already said, they believe in only one God. And Jesus said, "Yes, it can only come by the Father in heaven." It is a divine revelation. So Peter, remember that. It is from God the Father. Well, if Jesus is the Son of God, then what about God the Heaven? He is God the Father. And what is the relationship between Jesus the Son and God the Father? It is a very unique relationship. You know, at the baptism of Jesus, as Jesus came out of the water, he saw the heaven open. And the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son. I didn't get it right because I didn't know what God would sound like when he spoke. But one thing is very clear. He said to Jesus, who was newly baptized, and said, "You are my son, whom I loved. With you I am well pleased." That is the kind of relationship between Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father in heaven. And when Jesus, before he was tried in the front of Pontius Pilate, he said to the disciples, "I'm going to be with the Father to prepare a place for you, because in my Father's place there are many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you." This is normally the passage we like to share with those people who attended the funeral service, because we want to comfort them. Those who believe in Jesus Christ have gone to a better place, a place of eternal rest in the Father, with the Son. It's meant to be a comfort to the disciples because Jesus was about to depart from the world. And then he said to the disciples, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." You know the way to the place where I am going. One of the disciples, called Thomas, said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, and I believe many of you can recite the words of Jesus, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You know me, you know my Father. That's how intimate Jesus the Son is with God the Father. Jesus is the way. He came from the Father and now he is going back to the Father. And he is going to come back and take us to be with him and with the Father. And Jesus is the truth. What he said to the disciples and what he promised to them is true. You can always believe in the words of Jesus. You can always believe in his promise and that he will fulfill them. Jesus is the life. The Father has given him, the Son, the power to give life, just as the Father gives life. And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that we will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, 'Show me the Father'? I've repeated once and I repeat it again. Can't you hear? Didn't you hear? Can't you understand him?" Just as the Father raised the dead and give them lives, John said in his gospel, "Even so the Son gives lives to whom he is pleased to give it." As the Son, the Father sent Jesus into this world to do his work. John 3:16, verse 17 as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And as the Son, he obeyed the Father. As the Father, he sent Jesus the Son. And as the Son, Jesus obeyed the Father. Paul, as we all know, is actually a Jew, a Pharisee who knows his Bible very well. And in Philippians chapter 2, he cited the hymn saying, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and be made in the humble likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. As the Son, sent by the Father, Jesus the Son was obedient to the Father. Coming down from heaven, even though by the very nature God, and yet be made in human likeness. Be made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man. What the hymn is trying to say to us is Jesus put on the likeness of man. Basically, he's trying to say that even Jesus became a man, but he has not abandoned, he has not given up his divinity. So while we are listening to this sermon about Jesus, the Son of God, we must also at the same time remember he is fully human as well. He is fully human as well. And he came to the earth, obedient to the Father, humble himself, even obedient to death, death on the cross. And then the hymn goes on to say, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He was crucified, and yet 3 days later he rose again from the dead, and then 40 days later he was taken up into heaven to be seated with God the Father. That all knees shall bow, all tongues shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So, what do we have here? We see that Jesus, the Son of God, has a very great personal, intimate, exclusive, unique relationship with the Father, marked by full and willing obedience to the Father. He is distinct from the Father, and yet one with him. One with him. Because Jesus is the Son of God, we worship him, just as we worship God the Father. We praise him just as we praise to God the Father. And I've opened here hymn number 9, crowned him with many crowns. The Lamb upon his throne, hark how the heavenly angelic drown. All music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. We worship Jesus just like we worship God the Father. We praise him just like we praise God the Father. We pray to him, Lord Jesus, just like we pray to God the Father. And when we pray to the Father, we often say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Some people just pray, God, and then that's it, amen. But it is very important to pray in the name of Jesus. Why? At least for two reasons. My wife has been teaching line dance. And in the group of ladies, some are non-Christians, non-believers. And sometimes they ask for prayer when they have certain issues, difficulties. And my wife always pray and finish off in the name of Jesus. And she say it is very important. It is very important to let them know that I, as a Christian, worship a God who is God the Father. And he has a Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I always pray in the name of Jesus. Because they believe in different gods. They pray to different gods. Therefore, it is important for you and I, when we pray, especially when we help those people who don't believe in God, to pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ. And there is a second reason why we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Because it is through Jesus Christ the Son, we are able to have access to God the Father and call him the Heavenly Father as well. But a different relationship. Because when we address God as our Heavenly Father, when we pray to him as Father in heaven, just as Jesus taught us, we address him as Father who have created us. Who have created us. But God the Father did not create Jesus. They were assisting from eternity to eternity. So it is very important, brothers and sisters, to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the Son of God. Therefore, he is able to save us. He sent by the Father to come to this earth to die for your sin and for my sins. How can he do that? Because he put on the likeness of a human being and bear our sins and become sin for us and die on our behalf. So that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He is able to do that because he is fully human and he is also fully God, the Son of God. And as the Son of God, Jesus is able to forgive our sins. Our sins. And when you read the Bible, one time when Jesus forgave the sins of a paralytic, he got him into trouble. Because the scribes and the Pharisees got mad with him. Who is this guy? Because only God can forgive sins. Jesus can forgive sin because He is sent by God the Father as the Son into this world to die for our sins and to forgive the sins of those who believe in Him. What can we conclude here? You remember the story after the death of Jesus and His resurrection. He appeared to the disciples. And at that time, Thomas was not there. And the disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the risen Lord." But Thomas wanted tangible evidence before he could believe in Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Just as many of us, we want tangible evidence before I can believe there is a God. I want tangible evidence before I believe there is a historical Jesus Christ. I want tangible evidence before Jesus is truly the Son of God. And Thomas too, just like one of us maybe, who are still holding back from believing in Jesus. He wanted to see and touch Jesus. And when Jesus confronted him in person and speak to him, "Thomas, put your finger on the nail marks in my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." You know what Thomas did or said? "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." And from there onward, he truly believed. Brothers and sisters, our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of our sins, is not blind faith. As John says about him in his written gospel, in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in the book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name." If you still have doubt, go back to the Bible, especially John's Gospel. Read with humility. Say, "God, I don't know whether you are there. But if you are truly there, please reveal to me. Jesus, I don't know whether you are truly the Son of God. But if you are truly the Son of God who came to die for my sins, please reveal to me." And God the Holy Spirit will be able to speak to you, because this can only come from God. Jesus Christ the Son can only be a divine revelation, just as Jesus said about Peter's confession. But if you are already Christians, sometimes you waver in your faith, read God's Gospel of John again and believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God, the Son of God. And if you have any worries, and if you have any problems, cry to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that you love us so much that you sent us, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to do your work, to bear our sins and die for us, risen for our eternal life. We praise and thank you. We thank you that we are able to believe in Jesus as the Son of God because of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you continue to touch our heart so that our faith can be strengthened as we come to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And for those people who are still not believing in you, pray that you open their hearts and minds that they will be able to receive Jesus not only as the Son, but also as the Savior, and to receive from him the salvation and eternal life with him and with God the Father in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.